We conclude today our sermon series, From Dust to Promise, Refreshing Our Hearts. And today's message is the last sermon in this series. It's entitled, The Resurrection of Jesus, which is appropriate, of course, for Easter, isn't it? Our scripture reading comes from the traditional story in John's Gospel of Easter morning. Note that three witnesses are mentioned here who witnessed the resurrection, the events of that day. I begin reading at verse 1 in chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Verse 6, then Simon Peter came, following him, went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. Then at verse 11, the story continues with one more witness. Jesus appears here to Mary Magdalene. Verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener. She said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Let us pray this morning as we come to the message. O God of the living, we come to church on Easter morning to let these old words of hope and truth wash over us yet once again. Familiar and mysterious they are both at once. Like the lilies before us, may we now open our hearts and minds to your word to us in Scripture, telling us of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. O God, we do not ask that these words be emptied of their mystery, even if we can never fully understand them. We pray that we still may stand under this victorious truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. On this Easter morning, I want to share with you just for a little while, straightforwardly, the Christian belief and teaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I do so because I hope that in the future, if there comes a time ever when you lose a loved one or you experience the dark night of the soul, that you will remember Easter 2021, coming out of this pandemic and hearing words, good news about your faith in Jesus Christ and the resurrection. That's my hope, that you will remember today. I went back this week, by the way, and looked at the last decade of Easter sermons that I've preached here at Northwood, and I said to myself, self, this year, just give it to them straight. In past years, I have filled sermons on Easter with stories and woven them, trying to be as creative as I could. But this year, I'm giving it to you straight. So here goes. The resurrection is the very cornerstone of Christianity. If you take out the resurrection story, the Christian faith, the Christian religion, it simply collapses without it. The Apostle Paul said it this way, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is in vain, and we are the most pitiable of people. In one of my favorite books that I was handed when I was a young adult, it was entitled Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and the Christian author, Josh McDowell, I've heard him speak several times in person. He is excellent. I encourage you to go on YouTube and listen to Josh McDowell. There are quite a few speakers that talk about the resurrection that you can listen to. But Josh McDowell puts it this way. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, pardon me, if he has been raised from the dead and he is who he says he is, then Jesus and his teachings must become the absolute center of our lives. I've had many conversations over the years with people who believe themselves to be Christians and yet who have said to me, a few of them have said to me, I do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but I believe as a Christian that Jesus is a great moral teacher. They actually said that. That belief really is not an option for a Christian. Because again, the resurrection is the foundation stone. It is the center of what we believe, and upon that rests all of the Christian faith. Take away the resurrection, and Christianity is just false. The resurrection is that central to Christian belief. If you go back to a time of Jesus where there was already a lot during Jesus' time of views about what happens when people die, just as there are today various views about what happens when we die. One belief, and you know this to be true, one belief, many people believe that nothing happens at all. It was the belief of many Jews in Jesus' time that the dead were just dead. That you die, and that's it. And if you believe that, life is really absurd. Because it means that all you have accomplished in life, all the people that you know and love, simply fade away into nothing. And we then are without purpose. We are evolutionary accidents. Well, others believe in Jesus' time, that you go down to a dark world called Sheol. And Sheol literally was the place where people went when they died, the place of the dead. It actually, if you go back and read the Jonah story, people say to me sometimes, how could Jonah have been alive for 3 days in the belly of that great fish and then live after being spat out on the shore of the sea? If you read Jonah's prayer carefully, he tells about his death. He says, I have descended into Sheol. And what happens in that story when he is spat out on the shore, we are told that God raised Jonah and sent him on to Nineveh. That's a key word, raised. He was brought back from the dead. Interesting it is that that is the only scriptural allusion that is given when the Jews asked for Jesus to show them a sign. He says, you have the sign of Jonah. And as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days in the tomb and rise again. Well, some believe that the soul or the spirit of the person goes directly to God at death, that the soul of the person is what escapes the body. That's a Hellenistic Greek understanding that we still carry with us today. There's nothing wrong with it. But then there are some Jews who believed at that time that the dead who followed God would rise again at the end of time. When the Messiah returned, they believed that the righteous dead would rise on the last day. For example, I shared this last week indirectly. I talked about the raising of Lazarus from death that Jesus did. And Jesus, in that story, when he gets to the tomb, he tells Martha, who is grieving, Lazarus' sister, he says, "You know, your brother Lazarus will rise again." And Mary professes that belief. She says, "I know he will rise again with the resurrection of the just." That's the belief she was talking about when the Messiah returns. All of which is to say, there were all kinds of views and more I could mention about what happened when you die that people believed in Jesus' time and that people believe in this day and time. Here is what you need to listen to and hear at Easter. None of these views that I mentioned are held by any of the writers of the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, nor John. They were all Jews. They all had grown up with these Jewish beliefs like Sheol and the raising of the just on the last day when the Messiah comes, and yet they say something entirely different when they reveal what happened to Jesus. They never once write, "And Jesus went down to Sheol, the place of the dead, as all do." They didn't write those words. They didn't include a single sentence that says, "Jesus' spirit rose and escaped his brutalized body, and he now lives in our hearts in spirit." They never wrote that. They never once say, "The disciples believed with all their hearts that Jesus and all the righteous would finally rise on the last day." They never record that, not once. What they did record was that Jesus suffered, he was crucified, he was dead, and he was buried. He really died. That's what they want to get across to us. That is their witness. But they all add that Jesus was alive again through the power of God on the third day. He was raised from that tomb. And he was raised from that tomb in real time. Not in future time, in real time he was alive. The resurrection of Jesus was a game changer to those early followers of Christ. It changed everything. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, it set the church on fire, especially with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And again in the book of Acts, you begin to hear about Jesus being nailed to a tree and having died and having been raised from death. It became the central teaching and the focus of the New Testament. The resurrection of Jesus means for us the discovery, hear this well, the discovery on Easter of an empty tomb. A tomb with no dead body. The Greek word for body is soma. And when the witnesses came to the tomb on that Easter morning, there was no soma. There was no body. It had been raised from the dead. And just to note, a side note, the resurrection did not mean a resuscitation of Jesus. Life in that cool tomb. He didn't just come back to life. He was really dead. In the first century Judaism, resurrection did not mean or come to mean a return to ordinary earthly life. Again, the story of Lazarus. Jesus brought Lazarus back to life. There is also in the Gospels the record of Jairus' daughter, Jesus waking her up and raising her up from death. And yet there is a unique difference between that of Lazarus' death and his being raised by Jesus and Jairus' daughter over and against Jesus. They returned to earthly life, and they eventually would die again. The scriptures tell us they sought to kill Lazarus. He would die again. But the scriptures teach us that with Jesus, something very unique happened. God raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus took on a new, transformed, and resurrected bodily experience, existence in which he would never die again. And that's why in the second and third centuries, Christian leaders began to gather together and to try to formulate and write what it was that they believed and knew about Jesus. They tried to codify the events of his life. And then from that, we get the Apostles' Creed. At the end of the Apostles' Creed, of course, we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We get a new transformed body when we die. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. Let me say that again. We get a new transformed body that exists in a totally different way. Thanks be to God. And Jesus would go on after Easter, and we'll come to these stories in the coming weeks, and he would appear to many others, before his ascension to God, appearing to his disciples, and on one occasion to as many as 500 witnesses. Let me ask you this, how many witnesses do you have to convict someone of a crime? How many witnesses? One? Maybe two? If you heard from 500 people that Jesus bodily rose from the dead in a new transformed body, would you believe them? Indeed, the existence and the truth of the resurrection, some have argued, exists because of the witness, even today around the world, of Christians who gather because of this truth after such a lengthy time. It's a great evidence that we're here this morning. As a matter of fact, if you study Matthew's record about Easter morning and the resurrection of Jesus, in Matthew's telling of the story, the stone, when the women appear that Easter morning to the tomb, the stone is still in front of the tomb. And the angel has to come and roll away the stone so the women could go in and anoint Jesus' body. But his body was not there. Note that this means he must have in that new body, in that new existence, passed through that stone door. And then we read further that when Jesus went to his disciples in the upper room, the doors being shut, Jesus entered. It was a new body on a different level that we cannot fathom where we are now. It is that awesome. This is the message of Easter. The resurrected body of Jesus is unique, and the Christian faith teaches that this is what is promised to all his followers. I'm almost finished. The resurrection of Jesus we celebrate today is not just a return to normal earthly life and existence. The Christian belief about the resurrection is that it involves the transfiguration of Jesus' body that would never die again. And again, the key is the empty tomb that we're told about in all the gospel records, that Jesus is alive again in his body, and that he is the firstborn we read in the New Testament of all those who believe. And then notice this, finally. Notice how Jesus tells us that when Mary saw Jesus standing there, when she turned and looked at him, she did not know who he was when she looked at him. She mistook him for who? The gardener. Now that should ring in your ears, the gardener. Because Jesus is about a new creation at this point, creating a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth for us. And there was a gardener we read about in Genesis when God created us and everything that is. That link is no accident, the gardener. She knew and discovered that his body was uniquely different. She recognized Jesus when Jesus called her by name. After that encounter, Mary ran and told the other disciples, and Jesus told his disciples later to go into all the world and tell others. One final thought. What does this mean for us? Perhaps, and I could give you 1,000 things it means, but perhaps it simply means for us that the world is not all that there is. The world is not bad, but this world is not it. For many, you've heard perhaps this over and over, but here's what I mean. I think we should do everything we can to be good stewards of this earth, of this world, to enjoy our lives, but to always remember this world isn't all that there is. There is more to come. God is about the business of creating that new heaven and the new earth as a master gardener. It is not true that when we die, we stay in our graves forever. We are people of dust, but we are given the great promise of our Lord today on Easter. There is a sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life because God raised Jesus from the dead. And let all who are gathered this morning say, Amen.